You have your Bibles tonight, turn with me. I'm reading a portion of Scripture. I'm not going to preach long, but I want to bring you something from the Word of God. Revelation, the 2nd chapter and the 17th verse. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna. And I will give him a white stone, and in that stone I'll write him a new name, which no man knoweth except him that receives it. There was a time I walked with the devil, and the devil would say, Jacko, you go get drunk, and I'd get drunk. He'd say, you lie, and I'd lie. He'd say, you steal, and I'd steal. He'd say, you get mad and give somebody a piece of your mind, and I'd get mad and give them a piece of my mind. But one day I was walking down the street and I heard another voice. It wasn't the voice of the devil, but it was a sweet, kind, gentle voice. And that voice said, Jack Coe, if you'll follow me, I'll give you a white stone, and in that stone I'll write you a brand new name. And I'll do something else for you, Jack. I'll give you a bite of that hidden manna, which no man knows except him that receives it. Brother, I got one bite of that hidden manna. First, I felt like laughing. Then I felt like crying. And then I tried to cry and laugh at the same time. I was saved in the Nazarene church. I didn't know what the word glory or hallelujah was. I'd never heard it, except when I was a child, and I'd forgotten it. But I went to that Nazarene church not knowing one word of praise from another. But the night Jesus gave me that new name and wrote my name in that stone and gave me a bite of that hidden manna, I jumped up from that altar and ran all over that church hollering, hot dog, I've got it. Hot dog, I've got it. I believe you get a hold of the right thing, you'll holler something. I said, you'll holler something. You know, blind Bartimaeus was just as blind as a bat sitting down by the side of the road. Somebody said he'd been blind all of his life, and he was always a beggar. I don't believe that. I believe one time he had money, but he spent it all trying to get his eyes open. But there he was, just as blind as a bat, sitting down there begging. And along come a man and said, say, Bartimaeus, I was down at Jerusalem the other day and said there was one of the funniest fellows there. They called him Jesus of Nazareth. And said Bartimaeus, said he mixed up some mud out of spit and put it on a blind man's eyes and told that blind man to go wash in the pool of Siloam. And said Bartimaeus, when that blind man came back, said he could see as good as I can. Bartimaeus said, yeah, but said there's no use of you telling me about him. I've tried every doctor and every prescription they prescribed, and I'm no better than I ever was. I've spent everything I had, and my eyes are not open. And he said, now telling me about putting mud on your eyes. Fellow said, yes, but said this Jesus fellow's different. Said when he speaks the word, said things go to happening. I want to tell you tonight, Jesus is different. When he speaks the words, things go to happen. There's power in the words of Jesus. I said there's power in the words of Jesus. And he went off and he left Bartimaeus, and Bartimaeus sit there. Finally, one day he heard a multitude of people come. And he reached out and he began to feel around and finally got a hold of a fellow's sleeve and he pulled on it and he said, what's going on around here? That fellow said, didn't you know? Said, Jesus of Nazareth passing by. He said, Jesus of Nazareth, that's the fellow they was telling me about. And Bartimaeus began to cry, oh Jesus, oh Jesus, Jesus have mercy on me. I don't know who it was, but he said to Bartimaeus, Jesus hasn't got time to fool with you. Why, he's on his way to Jerusalem to be king. He's not going to mess with an old blind beggar. But I'll tell you, that didn't shut Bartimaeus up. He hollered all the louder and he said, oh, Jesus, 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 have mercy on me. And all of a sudden, them words floated to Jesus' ears. And Jesus just stopped that whole multitude and said, go get that fellow. Let me tell you something, Jesus is never too busy. He'll stop every harp in heaven from playing.
He'll stop every angel from singing.
That's right.
He'll stop everything just to reach down and touch some poor, blind, lost beggar. And he said, go get him. I'll tell you, if he ever sends for you, he's got something for you, he wouldn't send for you.
That's right.
And they got Bartimaeus to Jesus, and Jesus said, Bartimaeus, what do you want? Bartimaeus said, Lord, that I might receive my eyesight. He didn't pour a bottle of olive oil on him and shake a liver out of him. He didn't push him down on the ground. Sometimes I think we got this thing backwards. We go around pushing people down. Jesus went around raising them up. Amen. I think some people do fall under the power of God sometimes. But I don't think you need to push them down. I don't believe the position of your body has a thing in the world to do with your healing. I think it's a position of your heart and whether Jesus speaks the words or not that heals your body. Hallelujah. And he said, Bartimaeus, what do you want? Bartimaeus said, God, but I might be able to see. And he spoke the words, and old blind Bartimaeus' eyes flew open. I imagine I can hear God say, angel, reach up and get a hold of the book. Turn over there to old blind Bartimaeus, that old beggar. Erase his name out of the book of sin. Then, angel, reach up and get a hold of the book of life. Write him a brand new name. Call him Bartimaeus, the child of God. Then, angel, get out of the way. I'm going to give him a bite of this hidden manna. And I'll show you how he acts when he gets one bite of it. Can I go ahead and use my imagination?
Go on, go on.
I can see Bartimaeus when he got one bite of it. He began to run down the road. Do you know where I believe he's going? I believe he's going to tell all of his relatives about what he got. Brother, you get the right thing, you go home and tell others about it. You join a church and shake a preacher's hands, you won't tell nobody about it. But if you get full of the power of God and Jesus actually saves you, you'll go home and tell your relatives about it. And there he went running down the street as fast as he could go, and he passed a fellow, and that fellow turned around and looked at him and said, Why, Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus, is that you? He said, yep, Zacchaeus, this is me. Bartimaeus, how in the world did you get your eyesight? Well, I'll tell you, Zacchaeus, I was sitting down there by the side of the road, and up there Jesus came by and said, he just spoke the word, Zacchaeus, and my old eyes flew open. But he said, Zacchaeus, that ain't the thing I'm so happy about. Said, man, I've joined every synagogue in the country, but when he spoke the words, something took place down below my fifth rib. I've never felt anything like it. I'll tell you, I feel like crying and shouting. I'm so happy. I'll tell you, I've never felt anything like what I've got.
Thank you, Lord.
Zacchaeus said, Bartimaeus, what way did that Jesus go? He said, the last time I saw him, he's going down that road over there, but said, you couldn't get near him. Said, there's such a crowd around him. Said, you just won't get close to him. He said, listen, Bartimaeus, I haven't got time to fool with you. I'm going to find that Jesus. But he said, I haven't told you all about what I got yet. He said, you've told me enough. I'm going to find out what you got. And the Bible said he went down there, and the Bible said that Zacchaeus was a little bitty short man. And the Bible said he climbed up in a sycamore tree and laid on the limb to get a peek at Jesus. And he laid on that limb and he waited until the crowd came down, and when the crowd got right underneath him, Jesus looked up and saw him in the sycamore tree and said, get out of there, Zacchaeus. Said, I'm going home with you.
Amen.
I imagine old Zacchaeus said, now wait a minute, somebody's been telling things on me. How do you know I was up in this tree? How do you know my name was Zacchaeus? Let me tell you something. Jesus knows all about you. He knows your name and address. He knows every lie you've ever told. He knows everybody you run around with that wasn't your wife. He knows all about it tonight. Amen. He knows exactly what you've done. He said, get out of there, Zacchaeus. I'm going home with you.
And the Bible said Zacchaeus came down out of the tree, and the Bible said Jesus went home with him, and the Bible said that Zacchaeus received Jesus joyfully. I imagine I could hear God say, "Angel, reach up and get a hold of the book. Turn over that old Zacchaeus, that dirty skin flint that robbed the widows and cheated the orphans. Erase his name out of the book of sin. Write him a brand new name. Call him Zacchaeus, a child of God. Put something else down there, angel. Put down there that he's going to pay back fourfold for everything he's ever swiped. Stole. Amen.
Well, go on.
Then get out of the way. I'm going to give him a bite of this hidden manna. Brother, I can see old Zacchaeus when he got one bite of it. The Bible said he received Jesus joyfully. You know, Paul was on his way to Damascus to persecute the Christians. A light shone down out of heaven and said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" He said, "Who are you, Lord?" He said, "I'm Jesus." He said, "What do you want me to do, Jesus?" Jesus said, "Go down on Straight Street and I'll send a fellow down there to lay hands on you, get the baptism." You know, I'm glad he didn't send him to Crooked Avenue. But God said, "Paul, don't get on Crooked Avenue, get on Straight Street." Hallelujah! And he said, "I'll send a fellow down there and he'll lay hands on you, you'll receive the Holy Ghost." And he received the Holy Ghost. And after Paul got the Holy Ghost, he went around preaching the same Jesus that he was trying to kill the Christians. One day they arrested him and took him before Agrippa, and Agrippa said, "Paul, what's the matter with you?" He said, "Saul, what's the matter with you? Don't call me Saul anymore. My name's not Saul. Why? I got a new name on the road to Damascus. A light shone down out of heaven and God gave me a brand new name. My name's Paul from now. Used to be Saul. And I got something else, Agrippa. I got a bite of that hidden manna. I went around killing the Christians, but now I'm going around preaching the same Jesus I was killing them for serving. Laying hands on the sick and they're being healed. Working the miracles of this same miracle working Christ." Agrippa said, "Tell me more about it." He said, "I'll tell you. I sit at the feet of Gamaliel. I was one of the big shots in the synagogue. Why, I was an up and up. But I'll tell you this thing I got, I've never felt anything like it. Agrippa, what you need is to get what I got." Agrippa said, "Paul, you studied so much you've lost your mind. You've just gone batty. You know the world thinks we're crazy. When I first got in the army, they called my name one day and said, 'Fall out of line.' I fell out of line. Sergeant said to me, said, 'Private Cole,' said, 'Go down to the dispensary. Dispensary's where you go when you're sick.' I said, 'Sergeant, I never felt better in my life.' He said, 'Nobody asked you how you felt. Go to the dispensary.' I said, 'Okay.' So I went in, got my Tory articles together and headed for the dispensary. And I got down there and the doctor looked at the piece of paper I had and he looked at me and back at the piece of paper and he said, 'You go to the hospital.' And I said, 'Hospital?' He said, 'Yes, hospital. But I said, there's nothing wrong with me.' He said, 'Soldier, don't you recognize these bars I've got on my shoulder?' I said, 'Yes, sir.' He said, 'I said, go to the hospital.' I said, 'Yes, sir.' And I grabbed the piece of paper and headed for the hospital. I got over at the hospital and the girl at the desk looked at me and looked at the piece of paper and she said, 'You go to Ward 46. She looked at me so pitiful, I thought, well, what's wrong with me? Do I have the measles or something I don't know I got? Have you ever been to an army hospital? They got them long corridors and then the wards divide off of them corridors. You know how they are. I went by a mirror and I looked in the mirror. There was no breaking out on my face. I felt good. I started down that long corridor and when I got to about Ward 43, I noticed a bunch of screened-in cages. And I thought, uh-oh, what have I done to get in the guardhouse? I was this crazy when I was in the army. When I felt like shouting, I shouted.
I told God when he saved me and took the cursing out of my mouth, God put two praises in there for every curse word I had.
Yeah. I got down to Ward 46 and I walked in and I handed the ward boy the piece of paper. He looked at me and looked at the piece of paper and said, wait here, said, I'll get you a bathrobe and a pair of pajamas. And he said, this is your room right over here. And I looked at it and it had a door about 2 inches thick. Had a little peek hole way up the top of the door. I looked at the bed and the bed was screwed to the floor. I looked at the lights and the lights were built in the ceiling. By that time I realized where I was at. I was in the nut ward. I said, that ward boy, I said, look, there's nothing wrong with me. He said, calm yourself, soldier, said the doctor just wants to talk to me. Said, everything will be all right. I went in and I had to call him to turn on the shower because it turned on with keys. He turned the showers on, and I took a shower and went back in, and I looked for the chair, and there was no chair. Man's not crazy for sitting on the floor when there is no chairs, is he? First, they left the door open, so I sat down to read my Bible because it was about bedtime. And I noticed the ward boy walk by, and he looked in at me. Pretty soon, he come back by again, and he looked in again. Then I get down to pray. Finally, I heard somebody say, the doctor's in the hall, and I looked up about that time, and the doctor come by, and he looked in at me. They left the door open at first, and so finally he walked back in his office, and he sat down. He said, send that coat case in here. I went in, and he said, sit down. And I sat down, and he said, I'm going to ask you a few simple questions. You do your best to answer. I knew he was lying to me because the Army never asked anybody a few simple questions. He said to me, he said, did your mother ever go insane? I said, no, sir. How about your dad? Said, did he ever have any spells of any kind? I said, no, sir. He said, you got any brothers and sisters in the asylum? I said, no, sir. He said, what's 2 and 2? I said, 4. He said, what's 4 and 4? I said, 8. He said, here, put these blocks together. And he shoved me some blocks, put them together and shoved them back at him. He said, tell me, he said, what makes you act like you do? Well, I said, what do you mean, what makes me act like I do? Well, he said, the boys tell me you go around saying praise God and hallelujah and I love you, Jesus. They say you don't drink and you don't smoke and you don't cuss and you don't go to shows and you won't dance. And when they have a beer party, you won't go to the beer party. What makes you act like that? I thought, boy, this is a good time to tell you about Jesus, so I wound up on him. I told him how I was a drunkard, how I was a liar, how I had to sit an eye-opener by the side of my bed every morning when I got up to start the day out with, how I stayed drunk day after day, how I sunk as low in sin as a man could sink, and how Jesus reached down to the guttermost and raised me from the guttermost clear up to the uttermost. Hallelujah! And about thought I had him convinced, I slowed down. He looked at me and he said, tell me, have you ever seen any angels? I said, no, sir. He said, have you ever seen God? I said, no, sir. I said, I talk to God, and God talks to me in my heart, but I've never seen God. By that time, my righteous indignation began to get stirred. And I got up to my feet and looked him right in the face, and I said, look, Lieutenant, just because a man don't drink and don't smoke and don't steal and don't run around with somebody else's wife, that doesn't make him crazy. I said, if there's any idiots around here, you're the idiot. Amen. I said, you get drunk, you run around with somebody else's wife, you steal, you lie, you do all those things, and the Bible said a fool said in his heart, there is no God. And I said, if you believed in God, you'd serve God. You'd be scared not to serve Him. And I said, you fellows that come in late at night and have me get you, put you to bed because you're so drunk you can't get your clothes on, and then wake you up the next morning in time to make it to Mass, when you know good and well you're going to go right back the next day and live just like you did the day before, it doesn't do you one bit of good to go to Mass and confess your sins. I said, you're the ones that's crazy. I said, if you want to get a look at a man that's got good sense, take a good look at me, because I love God. He said, look, I'm the doctor. I'm telling who's crazy and who ain't. And he said, lock him up, and they locked me up. I just read the Bible and pray. First, I thought I'd fast my way out, and then they sure thought I was crazy. After I'd stayed in there 9 days and nine nights, I was down in the middle of the floor reading my Bible and praying and crying. And reading and crying and crying and praying, and I said, God, what'd you ever get me in here for? I joined the army to win men for God. You told me to come in the army. God, I can't win anybody in this place. Here I am just in the army a short time, and you got me in this place. And I said, God, it isn't fair. And I was crying, praying, read down there about two fellows that was in jail by the name of Paul and Silas. And the Bible said at midnight they sung. God said, if you ain't a pretty looking thing, you're crying and bawling, them fellows were singing. Amen. I said, oh God, forgive me for crying and bawling. I said, I'm gonna sing. And I began to sing, I'm in the glory land way. And I read on down there about those two fellows in jail, and it said, God sent an angel down and rocked that old jail like a ship on a rough sea. And the doors fell off and the windows fell off and all the prisoners ran out in the hall. And the Philippian jailer run out and started to kill himself. And Paul said, don't do yourself any harm. We're all here. And he grabbed the light and he went around and counted them all. And after he found out they were all there, he said, tell me, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to get this thing you've got? Paul didn't say join the community chess fund. He didn't say join the Baptist church. He didn't say be a good Lutheran. He didn't say pay your bills and treat your fellow man right. But he said believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy household shall be saved. Now I said, God, if you shuck a jailhouse at midnight, you can rock this nut ward at 11 o'clock. And I began to keep singing and praising God and praying. And all of a sudden, I heard a knock on the door. And a key slipped into the door. And in walked the old ward boy with tears rolling down his cheeks. And he said, I've stood this preacher as long as I can stand. He said, I come out here and sit and listen to you pray and sing all night. And then he said, I go home in the daytime or back to the barracks. And he said, I can't sleep. And he said, I can't eat. He said, I know you're not crazy. He said, my old daddy is a Church of God preacher. He said, I know what old time religion is. He said, I'll just sit here and listen to you. And he said, if you don't pray for me and I don't get what you got, I'm going to lose my mind and I'll wind up in this place. And I got him down by the side of the bed and we began to pray. He began to say, God, forgive me, Lord, for drinking, for lying, for stealing. God, forgive me for every sin I've ever committed. God, write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I imagine I could hear God say, angel, reach up and get a hold of the book. Turn over there to that old ward boy, that skin flint, that old drunkard, that old curser, that old liar. Erase his name out of the book of sin. That angel, reach up and get a hold of the book of life. Write him a brand new name. Call him the ward boy, the child of God. Then said, angel, get out of the way and I'm going to give him a bite of this hidden man. Brother, when he got one bite of it, he jumped up from that bed hollering, praise God, I've got it, I've got it. Down that corridor he went hollering, I've got it, I've got it. Me right on his heels hollering, praise God, he's got it, he's got it. We got every nut in the place up and they were all hollering. Hallelujah! There was more noise in that place that night than it ever been. Finally, when we got quieted down and he went to put me back, he said, preacher, I don't know what I can do for you, but I'll do all I can. I don't know what he done, but the next morning they gave me my clothes and the lieutenant called me back in again and he said, sit down, and I sat down. He said, soldier, he said, you're in a critical condition. I said, I am. He said, yes, but he said, you're not dangerous. I said, well, I'm glad to learn that. He said, you have a bad case of psychoneurosis. I said, I have. He said, yeah. I said, what's that? Well, he said, just to be honest with you, he said, you're what we call a religious fanatic. Now, I said, you won't hurt anybody. Said, the only thing you're liable to do is get a lot of other people believing what you believe. Woo! Glory! I said, glory! Now, he said, I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to get you a quart of whiskey and get on one good drunk, and then you'll be better off to yourself and better off to the army and better off to everybody. I said, look, Lieutenant, I don't like the stuff. I hate the stuff. I hate the smell of it. I wouldn't take a bit of it. Jesus cleaned me up from it. I've never desired it since. He said, well, do me a favor. He said, when you get a furlough and go home, which you soon will get, he said, look up a good psychiatrist. By that time, I was on my feet and standing in the door because I wasn't taking any chances. Amen. I had my slip of paper in my hand back to duty, and I was standing in the door, and he said, see a good psychiatrist and let him psychoanalyze you. And I said, what's that? And he raised out of his chair about like that and said, a doctor! I said, I know one. He's never lost a case. I said, I had a talk with him this morning before I come in here, and he told me he loved me, and I told him I loved him. And I said, as soon as I get out of here, I'll talk to that same doctor again, Dr. Jesus, and tell him I love him again. And I walked down the out of there and started walking, and I looked back. He was sitting in his chair shaking his head. I changed companies 9 different times, and they put me in 9 different nut wards. God got me out of every one of them. The world thinks we're crazy because we say praise God and hallelujah and I love you, Jesus. But you're the one that's crazy because you take his name in vain and curse him and lie and cheat and steal and run around with somebody else's wife. You're the one that's got the marbles gone upstairs. If you had any intelligence, you'd live for God. I said you'd live for God. I'll tell you, if I am crazy, leave me alone. Because I've got one of the best innkeepers you ever got a hold of. And I'm headed for one of the prettiest insane asylums you ever stepped into. Hallelujah! I said hallelujah! Brother, I'm headed for an asylum that the walls are made out of jasper. The foundations are made out of rubies and emeralds. The streets in front of my house is paved with pure gold. Hallelujah. There's a pearl in front of my house at the gate of the house. Brother, that's one solid pearl. Brother, when we're inside the gates of pearl, we'll learn a lot of things. We'll have a harp all made of gold, perhaps 10,000 strings. We'll sing and shout and dance about the Lamb. She'll dry her tears. We'll have a grand homecoming week the first 10,000 years. Brother, if I'm crazy, leave me alone because I'm bound for heaven. I said, I'm bound for heaven. Brother, I believe when I get to heaven, I'm going to know my old Methodist grandmother that died and went on before me. I believe me and her's going to lock hands and run up and down the streets of glory together. I believe we're going to see our old Baptist dads and Lutherans and Episcopalians and Catholics. I believe when we get to heaven, we're going to have a grand homecoming week the first 10,000 years. I'll never forget, I was in Fort Worth, Texas, looking in a jewelry store window. They was having a jewelry store display. They had a diamond in there that said $25,000. They had screen all over the window, and they had 2 policemen standing at each end of the window. They wasn't even taking any chance. Some fellow was standing there looking in the window with me. I didn't know him. He didn't know me. We was just looking at all them jewels. They had rubies in there, $5,000. They had a string of pearls, $20,000. That whole window was just glistening. He looked at me and I looked at him and he said, boy, said, wouldn't you like to have a bunch of them? I said, no, I've got a bunch of them. He
He said, you have? I said, yeah. I said, you see that diamond for $25,000? He said, yeah. I said, my house, the foundation's made out of them things. He said, it is? I said, yeah. I said, you see them rubies? He said, yeah. I said, the walls of my house are made out of them things. I said, you see them pearls? He said, yeah. I said, them just little old bitty things. I said, the gate in front of my house is one solid pearl. I said, you see that gold? He said, yeah. I said, that ain't good gold. I said, the streets in front of my house is paved with transparent gold. The last I saw him, he turned and started down the street saying, yeah, 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 yeah. He thought I was crazy. But brother, I'm not crazy. When we get to heaven, the equalities of heaven's enough to make you shout. Brother, there's not going to be any rich people. There's not going to be any poor people. The rich are going to sit down with the poor. Bless God, if they get in, they're going to have to eat with us poor ducks right along with us. Hallelujah! We're all going to sit down at the same table. There's not going to be any widow women toiling to wee hours of the morning trying to make a living. There's not going to be any orphan children.
I'm headed for that kind of a place. I said, I'm headed for that kind of a place. Raise your hands and praise the Lord because He was good enough to give you heaven and heaven and heaven and heaven. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Stand up and raise your hands and praise Him.
Do me one more favor. Everybody that's standing, come and meet me right down here for just a minute. I want to pray for you. Come on. Come on. The devil's going to tell you not to do it, but don't you listen to him. Come on. I don't care whether you're Methodist, Baptist, Lutheran, or what you are. If you want to get delivered from everything that's in your life tonight and get ready to go, come on. God's going to set you free. Presbyterian man said last night, he said, I got prayed for deliverance of tobacco. And he said, last night he said, I wanted one, but he said, I just said, Lord, you've delivered me. And he said, this morning, he said, I couldn't even smoke one. He said, every time I smell it, I get sick. Amen. I believe I can pray a prayer that'll set you free from that thing that's got you
bound. Yes, amen.
A lot of you are sitting out there and say you want to get rid of the tobacco habit. You don't want to get rid of it. If you won't come down here, let me pray for you to help you to get rid of it. How many believe that? Say amen. I believe there's some men here that have a drinking habit. I can pray the prayer of faith that'll set you free from that old drunkenness.
Amen.
You don't need a cure someplace. God can deliver you and make you hate the stuff.
That's right.
Come on. I said, come on, I want to pray for you. I don't care what church you go to. Church membership don't have a thing in the world to do with this.
That's right.
I want you to get right with God tonight and get ready to go. How many sitting down out there can say that you believe that Jesus is coming soon? Say amen. Do you really believe it? Say amen. How many of you would be glad to meet Him if He was to come tonight and split this tent? How many believe He could come tonight? Say amen.
Amen.
If you couldn't put your hand up on that and say amen, you're not ready to go. Come on, you need me to pray for you. Get down here right now. I said, come on down here right now. Are you where you used to be? Do you still feel the power of God like you once felt it? Do you still pray on the altars like you used to? Does the Word of God still make you cry when you read it and make you shout? Would you rather read the Bible than you would the newspaper? God's got something for you tonight if you'll just
Amen.
Come down here and let me pray for you. Bow your heads and close your eyes. Everybody down here, raise your right hand with me. I'm going to pray the prayer of deliverance. Jesus, you said whatever I bound on earth would be bound in heaven. God, whatever I loosed on earth would be loosed in heaven. God, I loose every one of these people from every habit that's got them bound, from every high temper, from every cigarette habit, from everything, Lord Jesus, that is keeping them from your best. I loose them right now in my name and by thy power. Satan, I charge you to take your dirty, filthy hands off of them. Satan, you can't stand before a servant of God. I charge you to leave them alone right now. In the name of Jesus.